when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, howdy, y'all. I'm coming here from Tennessee. But well, anyway, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everybody. All the dear Blood River Radio family out there. I had to cut up just a little bit. Thank you so much for listening. I've got in just in time. I was just telling Cam that I've been out working on my truck all day, scraping battery cables, trying to get a little more life out of that battery. But anyway, people, you're listening to Blood River Radio. This is the only radio station in the world. That originally dedicated in October of 2018, we came on the air. We dedicated of the holy altar. We swore on the holy altar of God. That's not an exaggeration. That we would fight the global white genocide, the ongoing global white genocide that has been ongoing for over 100 years. Ever since Pontius Pilate was around. But in modern times, we would say dating probably from the Civil War here in the United States, Lincoln's War. In even more modern times, the slaughter that goes on daily in South Africa, and with the ethnic cleansing that's going on in all the white nations of the world, and it's really picking up here in the United States. It's one more slight deviation here. Our sodomite in chief in Washington, D.C. is so worried about the border in Ukraine. But they're not worried about. I'm sorry, I got distracted just a minute, y'all. Wait, reading an email. But our sodomite in chief so worried about the Ukrainian border, but yet our border is just wide open. There's thousands and thousands of people pouring across our border here in the United States, and he's so worried about a few Russians going into to thwart NATO's buildup of war against Russia. Anyway, people, I'm going to shut up. That's too much. I'm ready to say the prayer. You know the drill. I don't usually go that long. So I'm going to say a quick prayer. That's what we always do here on Blood River Radio. So people, if you will, bow your heads because I'm going to say a prayer. Almighty Father God, maker of heaven and earth, creator of all things that are seen and unseen. Lord, if you will, you sent your son, your only son, Jesus Christ, here on earth to die for our sins. Like we've always said 100 times before, 1,000 times before, it's still true. That while we were yet sinning, your son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. He certainly did. And that is the only way into heaven. There's only one name under the sun of which man can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ Almighty. Lord, we would ask you in this very dire times when we really don't know which way to turn a lot of times. We don't know how we're going to survive. But in those times like that, Lord, don't let us ever forget. Let us always remember you are always in control. And in the end, Lord, I know it's a cliche, but we know how the story ends. The evil will be just totally destroyed. They will spend all eternity in hell. And the good ones, the Christians, we will be united with your son, Jesus Christ Almighty, for all eternity. Lord, if you will, please, Lord, if it's possible, this would be my greatest wish. If we could bring one or two people, at least one person, to Christ listening to this show, because I want them to know, just because you're a Christian, you don't have to be a little mealy-mouthed, little spineless, little perfume-wearing wimp. You can be a warrior with sword in hand, like Almighty King David. King David killed thousands and thousands of men, and he did it because God willed him to. Lord, so all Christians, you don't have to be, just to repeat myself, You don't have to be a weak, spineless, little whining, silly, borderline sodomite coward to be a Christian. Lord, if you will, let us bring one or two people to this to Christ if we can, just from our influence. I would like that more than anything, Lord. And if you will, let us, if we can, Lord, let me live and other people I know like me, let us live so we can participate in the coming battle with evil in this country, Lord. If you will, Lord, ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, people, I got to give a quick outline. Tonight, we'll have Miss Monica Schaefer on again. She was a political prisoner in Germany, in case we hadn't said that in a long time. Miss Monica paid the price. She paid the sin price in Germany for going against the state's official version on the Hola hoax. She most certainly did. She pretty much spit in the devil's eye. We also have Miss Kathleen Dudley coming on again tonight, and we're going to kind of recap what we did last week, plus some other stuff with these two great people. And later on, at the second hour, maybe even the beginning, maybe even the last segment of this hour, we're going to have attorney at law, Jason Robb. He's going to be coming on, and he's going to be going over, he's going to be critiquing what Miss Kathleen Dudley says and Miss Monica Schaefer. Miss Monica Schaefer is going to be primarily running that interview with Miss Kathleen Dudley. Then just fall in line, and everything's going to play out real good. Also, listen, before we go any further, I have to announce we have a brand new donor, and his name is Paul from Princeton, West Virginia. He sent a really nice Christmas card. You know how slow the mail is. We just got this Christmas card, and he sent a very nice donation. So thank you so much, Paul. God bless you. If you will, Paul, please spread the word about Blood River Radio, because we need all the support we can get. Well, people, that's it pretty much for the introductions. Now, I would like to welcome my sister and your hero, Miss Monica Schaefer. How are you doing, Miss Monica Schaefer?
Doing very well, thank you, Eddie. And my sound is okay. You can hear me all right?
I hear you good.
Perfect.
Our listener, I think Kathleen was on. She was on, but she hung up. Is Kathleen?
She's back. She's back with us as well.
Okie dokie. Okay, how you doing tonight, Miss Kathleen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Eddie. And hi, Monica. It's really a pleasure on such an amazing day.
It is an amazing day. And if we get time, speaking of an amazing day, I want to talk about the Canadian trucker boycott. That there's tens of thousands of truckers, even as we speak, heading for the capital of Canada. And that little slimy weasel, effeminate
Justin Trudeau.
Yeah,
that's who you're
he is
of
shaking
Justin.
His damn boots. I hope they, you know what? I hope they hang him. I hope they drag him behind one of those tractor trailer rigs. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
He went into hiding, Eddie. He went into hiding for this. He's really afraid, actually, and so he should be.
That little perfume wearing sissy. You know, I can't stand him. You know, I put him up there with Bill Clinton and all these other sodomites in Washington and the Potomac. But anyway, Miss Kathleen, we'll have I got off the side of a track there. We'll have Mr. Jason Robb later on the show. He is my dear friend. He's like a son to me. He's younger than my youngest child, and he's a very well-established attorney in Western Arkansas. I know him. He's the attorney for the Knights Council of the Klan in Arkansas. He'll be coming on tonight. He's going to be discussing some of the things that you and I and Miss Monica talk about, common law. And he's going to tell the pros and the cons of common law and from his viewpoint, from the viewpoint of a bar attorney, and how well you can expect it to be received in the courts here in the United States, in the Eastern United States, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, Miss Monica, we still have some time before the break. Why don't you start off with the interview like you did last week with Miss Kathleen?
Okay, yeah, I will. And you know, I know exactly why Kathleen said it's a great day, an amazing day. And it is exactly about this convoy that has descended on Ottawa, and they continue to come. But you know, what we wanted to do is get you to recap a little bit of what we talked about last week, Kathleen. We will talk some more about this convoy, because it is very exciting times. It's quite historical. And then, like Eddie says, he'll be coming back on. But why don't you just start us off before this first break, the very sort of a real abridged introduction right now to what we want to cover today in terms of common law versus legal stuff. Go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you, Monica and Eddie. As I say, it's really a pleasure to be able to talk with you. I think maybe a little bit of history is always helpful for folks, because when we talk about common law, nature's law, God's law, we often do not understand the context in which that came about. And if we truly understand that we are born sovereign, that we are actually born to have our own rights to our peace of mind, to protection, to our life and liberty and property, and then we see where we are today, we go, what actually happened there? And so what we need to understand historically is that we all are sovereign men and sovereign women, but over a period of time, there has been a very insidious shift in our actual lawful rights, and that we, the people, institute government. But today, government has become so large, it actually is intending and acts over us.
Miss Kathleen, we have to go to our first break. We will be right back, Miss Kathleen, in just a few seconds. Hang on, everybody. We're taking our first break. We'll be right back.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. We're going to go right back to Miss Monica Schaefer. She's interviewing. This is the second time we've had Miss Kathleen Dudley on 2 weeks in a row, because we left some things unsaid last week, and we want to expand on that with an attorney at law later on during the segment, or at least possibly in the second hour. So go ahead, Miss Monica, go ahead. And Miss Kathleen, I think we interrupted you, but Miss Monica, go ahead and finish your interview with Miss Kathleen.
And just to finish that up, what happened, good. What happened with common law was that over a period of time, it became eroded through various acts that happened. In 1947, there was an Administration Procedures Act that started to erode the actual common law and what we now see today implementing legal statutes and policies and presumptions that took over the common law, which was representing our own sovereignty. So by the time the 50s came about, every state in the United States had converted to statutes and codes. And this has been a very slow erosion of our rights. And as we know, that if we are silent, we capitulate. And most people didn't understand that we, our own silence in this conversion from lawful to what we now see as a legal overall statutes and codes, we have in essence allowed our actual sovereign rights, our common law, our natural law, God's law, to go by the wayside. So by speaking up and standing in our common law jurisdiction, we claim our sovereignty again. So that was, that's very critical.
Yeah, it seems like so much happens just by our ignorance about what is really going on. I mean, and ignorance, I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I'm just meaning that in the literal sense of ignorance. We are ignorant of what the law is or what's going on. And so, for example, it starts at birth with the registering a baby. And you talked about even that word last week, the registry, and that comes from regis, which is king. Is that right, Kathleen? Do you want to talk about that? Just
that's
the
correct.
Fact that we do a lot of things without realizing it. I had no idea that was going on when I registered my little baby.
We talked about word spells, right? And quite accurately, this is all about tricking people using words. So if you look at what has happened, we've moved from common law into what is called maritime law or contract law. And along with this, the bar attorneys are a part of all of this. And so they contract, but a contract is with two consenting parties. But actually, we've been tricked, and it's fraud because we have not consented to being a part of this contract. And if you look at maritime law and the words we were talking about, they're all, you know, a dock, a berth, or a birth certificate. And when we, you know, when a cargo ship comes into port, it's being berthed at the dock. It's a doctor comes from doctor, from dock. We're contracted at birth, quite literally. We have a birth registry. And they actually fool the parents about the birth certificate. And we actually have a footprint? You know, we put our soul, S-O-U-L, and we give the soul to the master, who is the regis, the king, in this birth registry. And so we're being tricked into being given to the king through this registry. And all of this is fraud. All of this is trickery. So most people don't operate in that kind of perspective, right?
We just have no idea about it. You know, I remember distinctly when my daughter was born, and that's, you know, 28 years ago, that the nurses in the hospital, for no reason at all, they got kind of hot and heavy with the pressure, and when they handed me some forms and said, you have to do this, you know, within 30 days or whatever. And I was bewildered by it, because I knew nothing about any of this, but I do remember feeling instinctively like there was something strange about their heart, heavy-handedness, even just the way they talked to me about it. I thought, well, this is weird. What if I just didn't? I mean, it never occurred to me to not do it because I didn't know about all this. Now I think I would feel differently about it, you know, doing this registry, which you've just explained so well what that actually is. It's just fooling us. I mean, it's just like they fool all the German people that they have a legitimate government and a legitimate lawful, you know, laws and whatnot, whereas they have been illegitimate since 1949 and officially so since 1990. But how many people know that in Germany? Like, this is not actually a legitimate government in Germany. That's the whole country I'm talking about. It's just by the fact that the people go along with it because they don't know. So it's illusion. And so it is with the legal system. It's all by illusion. So it is with all the mandates that we are now, you know, people are obeying their way into, you know, off the cliff with the current COVID stuff. And they, you know, when they say, well, there's mandates to do this and that and lockdown and you have to wear masks and what, none of those are laws. None of it is lawful. So they fool the people and the people comply. That's how it goes. You had something new to give us. You hinted that you had something new, Alberta and I'm not sure if it was New Mexico or another state that you were talking about. Something just came down. Do you want to talk about that, Kathleen?
Well, I would, and that was a perfect segue. So thank you, Monica. You know, this is all about theater. It's all about acting. It's all about trickery. And that is exactly what they are doing in this system. Because I just sent in a document on this court case, and I was being challenged for having to be a person of integrity and challenging the integrity of the court. And what I found most interesting was that if you actually look up the definition of integrity, it's steadfast adherence, you know, to a strict moral or ethical code, or its character, fiber, the inherent complex of attributes that determines a person's moral and ethical actions. So I looked up what the mission statement of the New Mexico court was. On their website, it says, the mission of the New Mexico judiciary is to protect the rights and liberties of the people of New Mexico, guaranteed by the Constitution and laws of the state of New Mexico and the United States, to resolve legal disputes fairly and to ensure access to justice for all. And then I did a Google search of Dun and Bradstreet, and I found that Dun and Bradstreet clearly indicates that this court does not act as a court of law operating as a part of the judicial branch of New Mexico, but rather operates as a business for profit in a corporate industrial complex. So obviously, when compared to the mission statement shown on the New Mexico website, the information presented by Dun and Bradstreet regarding the New Mexico judiciary totally conflicts with the mission statement. And so, you know, they actually list that, you know, this Dun and Bradstreet describes these companies in the judicial district in New Mexico as doing business as a corporate family of 1,459 companies which comprise this industry. And the designations of the company doing business as a corporate family do not square with the mission statement stated by the courts. So then I took a look at the province of Alberta. And the province of Alberta government is doing business on Dun and Bradstreet also, as is the government of the state of Tennessee. So these are not judicial branches of constitutional government. These are administration branches of a corporation doing business for profit.
Miss Kathleen, we have to go to another quick break. Dear Blood River Radio audience, please hang on. We're going to finish this up in a few minutes with Miss Kathleen Dudley and Monica Schaefer, and pretty soon we'll bring on Mr. Jacob Robb, attorney at law. So we'll be right back, folks. Hang on.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Parts of 10 states and more than 11 million people are under blizzard warnings as snow falls across the Northeast. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
This is not a time to be out there shopping.
Power outages are being reported in many cities, and thousands of flights are being canceled. In the thick of the storm, our very own Chris Barnes reports from Massachusetts.
Well, by sheer coincidence, the USA Radio News New England Bureau is located right in the crosshairs of this crazy storm. So I'm standing on the deck of our facility here, and I'm looking at snow that is blowing around, and we're only expecting it to get worse here. We've got a number of inches, but within the next few hours, it's supposed to pile up at about 4 inches an hour, and the winds are supposed to go from gusts currently of about 40 miles an hour to gusts of about 80 miles an hour.
This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the veteran CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Buy One, Get One Free Special on Giza Dream Sheets. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-951-8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. There are hundreds of thousands of members, and they love it. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and this is obviously huge. The typical family saves around $6,000 a year switching to MediShare. Find out more. They're great to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
Joni Mitchell said Friday she would remove her music from Spotify in protest after recent controversy between Neil Young and the music streaming giant over podcaster Joe Rogan's COVID-19 misinformation. Mitchell released a message saying, "I stand with Neil Young." She's the first major artist to follow Young in leaving Spotify. Juliana Michelle Childs, a federal judge for South Carolina since 2010, is now under consideration to fulfill President Joe Biden's campaign pledge of placing the first black woman on the Supreme Court. The White House confirmed that Childs, who House Democratic Whip James Clyburn has championed, was one of Biden's potential picks. Childs is the first publicly confirmed name under consideration to replace Justice Stephen Breyer, who announced he would retire at the end of the court's current term, which runs through June. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Okay, I think Eddie is on the phone there talking to Jason to see if he'll bring him on. So, Kathleen, I found that quite a mind-blower, this Dun and Bradstreet thing. That's down in New Mexico, is it not? And then you were saying that the Alberta legal system is tied in there as well. So they're all tied in with this location on Dun and Bradstreet. Over to you.
Dun and Bradstreet is the... It's the stock market trading. It's all of the courts across the United States and across Canada are traded as any commodity would be traded for profit on the stock market. So what we have is, rather than a judicial system, we actually have a justice system. We have an administration system with CEOs for profit. These no longer are justice systems for the people. And that has slowly taken place over the last number of decades.
Oh, that is so interesting. You know, it is exactly the same in Germany. And this I found out, you know, first of all, I found out how the so-called justice system works firsthand there. And then with a little bit of research afterwards, every single court in Germany is a private enterprise. and they are not even sort of acting as one unit. They're all these independent private enterprises. And so it'd be exactly the same. It's big business, actually. And we used to joke with each other in the prison. You know, my friend, a good friend of mine and I, we used to joke about it all the time. Oh, this is big business here. You know, for every prisoner in the jail, the prison would receive a lot of money per day. And so, of course, it was in their interest to make sure that it's full all the time and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, people have no idea about this, that they're, you know, the system that they think is all about justice and, you know, taking care of, making sure that you know, we're all in a fair system. It is just nothing of the kind, absolutely nothing of the kind. So, yeah, just I'm wondering if Eddie, if Jason is on and if he wanted to, if he's ready to chime in or if he's been hearing what Kathleen's saying. And I'd be really interested to have them have a little bit of an exchange of ideas and thoughts. Are you there, Eddie?
Oh, thank you. I was, you know what, like a dummy, I had muted myself a minute ago and called Jason. I told him to go ahead and call in. I'm surprised he's not back because I was sitting there talking away. I thought, why are they still talking when I'm bringing them back? I forgot I had you muted. But Jason, are you there, fella?
Me now?
Yeah. Oh, so you're there. Are you? Have you been able to hear what we've been talking about, Jason?
I just got about 10 seconds ago.
Oh, we could. We can. Is there any way you can turn your phone up? You're pretty weak.
Yeah, I will. Let me try call back again and see if that'll help out.
We can hear you a little bit, but okay, go ahead and call back if you want to, and we'll be waiting on you because we want you in the interacting with our guest Miss Kathleen and with Monica Schaefer. So go ahead and call. Hang up and call right back in.
You know, Eddie, while we're waiting for that to happen, there is an anniversary coming up tomorrow that I bet very, very few of your listeners know about. This thing that happened 77 years ago tomorrow. So January 30th, 1945, Wilhelm Gustloff was torpedoed, and this was a ship. So this is the largest maritime disaster ever. Five times more people died going down in that ship than on the Titanic, which is so famous. And it was about 10,000 people were on that ship. They were women, children, injured. They were German refugees fleeing the Red Army, and they were getting on all these ships in the North Sea to be taken to safety as the Red Army was just really coming on them and inflicting terrible, terrible suffering and death and torture and just, you know, going like along the way, just doing terrible things. Anyway, so this boat was actually made for about 1,000 people, I believe. And there were about 10,000 people just stuffed onto this. And then in the darkness of night, they were torpedoed by the Soviet army. And they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly that this was filled with refugees. This is proven. This is documented. All kinds of documentation exists for that. And only 1,200 people survived that. So close to 9,000 people by estimates. It's impossible to know exactly how many were on board, but it was just stuffed to the hilt. And they went down in the icy seas on the January 30th, 77 years ago, tomorrow. How many people really know about that? And that was not the only ship that went down. Something like 245 other refugee ships went down, but that was the largest. And it was just a total purposeful strategy of killing as many Germans as possible. These were unarmed civilians. And this was in the late months of World War II. So I just thought I'd bring that in because it is the anniversary tomorrow of that terrible, terrible event.
Well, you know, I'm going to call Jason again in just a minute, as he's going to have to call in another line. But before we go there, yes, I have read about that and heard about that. I was thinking that the so-called allies, that the English and the Americans torpedoed that ship. Do you think it was the Soviets then?
Oh, I do believe it was coming from the Soviets, but I'm not sure. If you're saying that you thought it was the it was definitely the, you know, one
The
of
good guys did it. Yes, thus the good guys. Yes, we certainly did. You're absolutely right. You know what? I wish we need to do a whole show on that, because while you're thinking about that, reminds me, February the 12th, it'll be, we're going to have, I'll announce it again, February the 12th, we'll have Tom / Mike Goodrich coming on, the author of the great book, Hellstorm, about the bombing of Dresden, the firebombing of Dresden. He's going to be having his friend on, Paul English, calling from England, who did the voice of the narration of the audio book. He certainly did. I'm going to try to call Jason while we're talking. And if I can get this phone to work, y'all, but we'll just keep on. Monica,
yeah, okay. And
carry
and
on just
we
for a
also,
second. I'm
going to
call Jason.
Yeah, while we're waiting on that, we had just started out the show talking a little bit about the truckers coming in on Ottawa. And Kathleen, I know that you were really, you know, celebrating that too, saying, hey, this is really great, because today they a lot of them arrived and they're still arriving in masses. And I just want to mention a few of the things that our illustrious leader, not, has been saying about the truckers. First, he says they're just an insignificant minority, and that they, and he's also said things like, oh, they're misogynist, racist. Actually, he said that about the people who dissent, you know, that don't want to be vaccinated, the so-called vaccination. I mean, he has just pulled out all these you know, weaponized labels for people. And then when you see the videos of people cheering on the truckers all across the country, this is not an insignificant minority. No way. People are coming out. I think that the powers that should not be are actually quaking in their boots, and that is good. What do you think about that, Kathleen? I know you've been following this a little bit, and then we'll get back to the other subject at hand.
Well, I think it's a glorious day, and what I love so much is that the Canadian truckers are being joined by the American truckers, and given that I'm Canadian born and hold two passports, one for Canada and one for United States, I'm thrilled that that the sisters and brothers who understand freedom are all joining together, and they're encroaching upon Ottawa, because this is a day of the revolution, is it not?
Oh yeah, and I think that they intend to stay there for a good long time. I mean, I think the intention is to shut down the government, shut down the mandates, end this. Farce, like it is all a farce. It's based on lies and whatnot. So, I mean, I think the government, you know, the mainstream media, they're talking about, there's people there with swastikas and whatnot. Like they're planting the idea that there's a bunch of terrorists. I know that a friend of mine who was talking to her sister-in-law, who really is not well informed about it, but just listens to the mainstream all the time, she says, oh, it's terrorists going to Ottawa. And at the same time, the reality on the ground is that these people are saying, don't go more than 20 kilometers an hour here. We don't want to hurt anybody as they're going through crowded areas. Like, I mean,
well,
the
Monica,
lying
media.
I don't
know if you
media.
Hear the music or not.
Yes.
We're going to a quick break. When we come back, I think Jason will be here. I gave him that number a minute ago. And I want to comment on the truckers thing. And then we'll bring, when we come back, then we'll bring Jason in.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Hard Genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Dear family out there, we're having just a little bit of problem in getting our guest on, Jason, so I'm going to bring us back just briefly, and Miss Monica's going to carry on until I've got to call our other guest, Jason Robb, and get her message to him. So go ahead, Miss Monica, if you will, carry us till I get back, if you will. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So Kathleen, I don't know if you could hear that during the break, but we can't have both you and Jason at the same time, so I don't want to take up any more of your time. And then in the second hour, he's going to come on and he can respond then to some of the ideas that you have brought forward. So I just want to pass it over to you now, Kathleen, to give us some more about this and you know, what's going on with these courts. And because it's just been absolutely fascinating, I'm sure that you have more that you can share with us. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Monica. Well, what I want people to understand is that all of this is trickery and that it's no different than the mandates that are being presented by these governors and prime ministers and presidents. None of it is law. So as we agree, as we accept their offer as a contract, we are essentially removing our own sovereign rights from ourselves. And no one can do that but our own selves. So when we stand sovereignly, no one is over us. It is between ourselves and our Creator. So these mandatory declarations, whether it's in court or it's for vaccines, are all coming from the same trick, from the same theater. And that's why becoming educated about this is so important. So when any of these judges take on their position in court, they swear their loyalty to uphold the Constitution. And they're bound by that oath of office to display honesty, integrity, and good faith to the sovereign people. So we are the sovereign people. And as long as we claim our sovereign rights, then we have a position in court. But if we do not claim those sovereign rights, then we become a part of this master-slave, unlawful justice, so-called justice system. And it's very important for people to spend the time to learn how the words are used against us and to assert our rights. Because if we do not, then we no longer are sovereign. We no longer are free people. We are just slaves.
Yeah. Can I just ask a question there? So when you go into their court, can you turn that maritime court into lawful court just by the way you handle yourself, the way you respond to them, etc. Is that the way it works? Like, I know, just as an example, the very first question that is asked of us after we're told something is, do you understand? And I know that the correct answer would be, no, I do not stand under, so I comprehend. That would be a better way to answer. Is that correct? But do you, in effect, turn that court from a maritime court that they are trying to pretend or make it, in, you know, de facto be, into something that is a lawful court? Go ahead.
Yes, and all the courts, according you, I read the mission statement of the New Mexico court to uphold the Constitution. So that is the pretense. So when I go into court, and just before the hearing starts or the proceedings start, and I'm asked if I'm ready to proceed, I say I have a few questions. So I ask the judge, have you taken the oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the oath of the Constitution for the state of New Mexico? And if they hedge or haw, then and will not answer, then I basically go through the Riot Act stating that they are perjuring their oath. And that happened in my first trial. And then I reiterated, and ultimately the judge said, yes, I took the oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. That puts it into common law. That puts it into the jurisdiction of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, they are obligated to uphold my rights to the Constitution to be securely secured for me during that process. It's a very important process, because if you do not claim that, if you do not question the judge and have him answer yes, then you essentially are in their jurisdiction of contract law, of maritime law, under which justice is not served. It's all about state statutes, which are presented and put together for attorneys to be able to banter back and forth, because they're all about conflict. There's no peace giving and there's no lawfulness in statutes. Those are all administrative codes made by corporations.
Do you have to iterate that fact that you are now in common law court after they have told you that, yes, they did swear allegiance to the Constitution, or they swore to uphold the Constitution? Do you then have to actually spell it out that, okay, we are now in common law court? Or how does that work, Kathleen? And then the second question, I'll just ask that, if at any time during the proceedings, after you have established that you are now in a common law court, can that be through some inadvertent mistake that you make? Because it's easy enough through all this trickery with the language that you say a wrong word or something. Can it just automatically go back into their maritime contract court? Like, I know that people would be probably really afraid that that might happen. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Good questions. I claim the jurisdiction of sui juris. The court continues to want to define me, to determine who I am, to tell me who I am. It's very audacious. They want me to be pro se, because pro se is recognized by the Bar Association by contract maritime law. So I, from the very beginning, file all my documents as sui juris. I'm independent. No one is over me. I'm a completely sovereign, independent woman. And so that's very important. But every one of my filings is all based upon truth, evidence, fact, and constitutional law. So everything is underpinned by Constitution. So it is constantly reiterated. The other aspect of, we think that, oh, if we say the wrong thing, but that is also trickery. In the court system, you can apologize and say, oh, I erred. This is what I meant to say. You just have to speak it. So there's a tremendous amount of leeway, leverage. Even if you were to file a document and there was something you needed to correct, you would just file a new document stating the correction. So we're taught to fear the whole process, And there really is nothing to fear. What we need to fear is that we have given up our sovereignty, our rights to this unlawful group of people that are all about profit and greed and control to put us into their master-slave system.
Wow, this is just incredible. Really, really powerful and important information. I just can't emphasize enough that people need to learn this, learn about it. And I know that you have spent many, many, many hours researching this and days and weeks and whatnot. But I think that without doing as much work as you have done, because you're dealing with an on-the-ground case and they keep throwing more at you, so you've had to spend all that much time. But I really don't want that people are intimidated by that, the amount of work that has gone into it on your part. I think that they probably just spend, you know, at least a little bit of time just to find out about this and then know that they have been fooled, they have been tricked, and they can do this, and not to be afraid. Exactly what you say, like the fear factor is huge. I mean, I've heard people who should be quite well informed that when we start talking about these things, they kind of say, yeah, but you know, show me where it works. Like, show me when and where it works. I mean, can you give us some examples? Like, do you know of some examples of where it really has worked, other than your own case right now? Because I think you're having some big successes there. With you've exposed a judge to the wrongdoings and conflict of interest, and I think there have been some successes already with yours. But do you know if this has worked for a lot of people?
When we are educated and we stand in our sovereignty, it always works. It always works, because if we don't stand in our sovereignty, we capitulate. So whatever the outcome is, if we don't stand in our sovereignty, we've lost, right? So
yes.
Is it important?
Yeah.
We're not going to live all the way. We're going to die at some point, but it's the process that matters. But getting to your question, there is Margie and Jack Flynn, who are now in Arkansas, Take Back Our Rights. They have won thousands of cases in the courts using constitutional law, and they have a very good system, and I apply that system to this case, because as long as we understand our rights and we present ourselves within that common law constitutional jurisdiction, then we are sovereign. We are free. What more can we ask for? Really, it's not the destination that matters. It's the process. It's our integrity. It's our morality. And we are up against evil who is attempting to enslave us.
That's really good, Kathleen. Can you give a website or someplace where people can go to educate themselves? Like, maybe you have some sources that you can tell people about.
Well, I do. Let's see. And I can maybe give it to you so that you can look at it again. But it's...
Yes, we're almost out of time, Ms. Kathleen, so if you will give that website out there. We'll be going to our last break any second. We'll be picking up Jason Robb. So if you will, with a few remaining seconds we have, like Ms. Monica said, give us a website, your website, where they can contact you to get more of the information you've been talking about.
Okay,
and I certainly appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Thank you. Seaside Reflexology at protonmail.com, and I can give you links. Seaside, SeaSideReflexology, Seaside Reflexology at protonmail.com.
Well, thank you so very much, Ms. Kathleen. You have been a great guest, and we'll be getting in touch with you probably again down the road. Thank you so much for being on. We'll see you later. People, thank you so much for hanging on. We're getting ready to transition to the second hour. We're going to bring in Jason Robb, attorney at law. He's like my spirit son. I just love him to death. We're going to bring him on the second hour. Miss Monica's going to be on, and we've got to talk about it. We're going to, he's going to talk over what we did the first hour, plus we've got a whole list of other topics to talk about. We'll be right back in a few minutes.